States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, President Nix?
Here.
Vice President Nicholson?
He will be here about 9:15.
Commissioner Bergman?
Here.
Commissioner Baltadano?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum, so we will move on to public comment. Members of the public wishing to address the Civil Service Commission on matters other than those scheduled below may do so when recognized by the President. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes per individual. Seeing none, we'll close public comment, and we'll go to the draft minutes from Madam Counsel. I believe one of these sets of minutes, we may need to wait for Mr. May 26th, because Vice President Nicholson, Commissioner Bergman, and Commissioner Baltadano, and so we don't have those three here. So are we able to approve those minutes without that?
Nina Negrante, legal counsel. Actually, Madam President, you can go ahead and if your member is here, if you have a quorum to vote it in. So you can go ahead and approve those minutes.
Okay. I will then refer to the May 26th, 2021 minutes and invite any comments or corrections, additions, changes.
I have one clarification. There may have been some miswords or typos or something. On page 3A002, the second sentence should say recommendation was to approve two reclassifications. But more substantively, on page 3A003, let's see, these lines are not numbered, but in the middle of the big paragraph in the middle under Chief Information Security Officer, about halfway down, it says Commissioner Baltadano also suggested 4B00 line 6-2 should read negative findings, the information security, and on page 4B005 line 143, that next sentence was not an accurate reflection of what I said, so I would add line 143, she asked if Commissioner Bergman was going to propose changing the word may to shall, would Mr. Mailu be comfortable with that. I can restate that. But that would be my suggested change for that to just more accurately reflect what happened there. And I can reread that if anyone wants me to. And my final suggestion is under paragraph 5, little a, Mr. Zeldman explained the existing job specification rather than discussed. And that is all I would recommend.
Okay. With that, do you want to make a motion to
approve? Sure. I'm happy to make a motion to approve the minutes with those corrections.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve as corrected the minutes for May 26th, 2021. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, those are approved. Moving on to July 28th, 2021. Are there any additions, corrections, changes to those minutes? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve as written.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, moved and seconded to approve as written July 28th, 2021 minutes. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those carried. Now we're moving on to the next item, which is the Civil Service Commission regular session.
oath.
Okay. I have to say that Mr. O. Hennessy, we know him as Commissioner O., was a pleasure to work with, and this is well-deserved recognition.
Do you want to read it?
Certainly. Resolution commending Erwin O. Hennessy in recognition of 6 years of service as a commissioner on the County of San Luis Obispo Civil Service Commission. The following resolution is hereby offered and read. Whereas Erwin O. Hennessy, and I'm going to from now on call him Commissioner O., was appointed on January the 6th, 2015 as Civil Service Commissioner to represent District 2. And whereas he vigilantly and thoroughly executed his duties as a commissioner to fairly oversee discipline issues and promote the merit-based system for examinations, job-related qualifications, classifications of positions, and tenure for employees employed by the County of San Luis Obispo. And whereas a long history of public service, serving 32 years as a commissioner on the Planning Commission of the City of Kingsburg before relocating to San Luis Obispo County. And whereas he was able to draw on his many years of public service in public works to inform his questions and decisions while on the commission. And whereas he has demonstrated upright character in his interactions with staff by treating others with kindness, patience, and respect. And whereas he was lovingly referred to by staff as Commissioner O. And whereas Commissioner O throughout his life has exhibited the honest and ethical qualities of a public servant. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered by the Civil Service Commission, County of San Luis Obispo, State of California, that Commissioner O be recognized and is hereby commended for his dedication to the county mission. Be it also resolved that Commissioner O is wished much happiness and good fortune. And then I am making the motion that this be approved as presented. And I'm looking for a second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. And on a roll call vote.
Yes, sir.
We lost our cook.
Okay. Commissioner Bergman.
Aye.
Commissioner Baldonado.
Aye.
And President Nix, aye. The foregoing resolution is hereby adopted. And I will sign and return it to be framed beautifully. Thank you very much, Human Resources, for putting such a beautiful package together.
And we thank you for recognizing Commissioner O. We are all grateful for his service. Got 6 years when we put it together. Wow, that was significant contribution. So
very significant. Mr. Berkeley, you also moved. Do you have any comments?
You know, I'm sorry to see him not here any longer. He was a great, said he contributed a lot to the commission.
Yes.
You can always count on him. He was always there and he participated, he paid attention. He was in the middle of it, so he was good.
I only had a few meetings with him by the time I joined the commission, and really thoroughly enjoyed my short but kind conversations with him in those weeks during that time. And he will be missed.
Yes.
I'm very grateful for his service.
I as well. In fact, it was not just working on the commission with him. Often when we had a hearing or something, we would have a lunch break, we would find ourselves both in the tiny little cafeteria downstairs, and I found it a pleasure just to enjoy a sandwich and visit over how family things were going and so on. He was a delightful gentleman both to work with and to know personally, and I do miss him.
All right, are there any other comments on this topic, or are we ready to move on? Okay, then now we will move on to item...
Madam Chair, we have a grant date.
Yes.
Public comment on that item, please.
Oh, certainly. Is there any public comment on the item regarding recognition of Commissioner O? Seeing none, we will move on finally to item five. And that is our schedule for the future 2022. And Madam Secretary, did you have any comments on the schedule?
No, nothing in particular. It's a pretty standard schedule for your commission with minor adjustments for holidays, so it's per typical.
Right. Commissioner Bergman?
The schedule is fine. I know for a fact that I will not be in the country on June 22nd, but that's my only comment.
Okay.
I will be available.
Are there any, is there any, I will open it up for any public comment. Seeing none, we will close public comment and I will invite a motion to approve.
So moved.
Okay, moved and seconded to approve our 2022 regular session meeting dates. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. The next item is our annual report, fiscal year 2021, and this will be a receive and file. Do we have someone from Human Resources who will be making a presentation?
Good morning, President. Lacey Chigoya, Human Resources Analyst. I know you've already had a chance to take a look, so I will try to be quick and scroll through this. Can you see this okay? Okay, so I'm here this morning to present to you the County of San Luis Obispo Civil Service Commission annual report for fiscal year 2021. Here is just our introduction of your authority and purpose as the commission and our HR statement. This fiscal year, we had 13 total grievances and appeals received, down from 21 last fiscal year. We're assuming this could be because of the pandemic, as well as many resources provided to our supervisors and early intervention by Human Resources. Here is a chart to give you an overview of grievances and appeals filed by type. We had, like I said, 13 overall. Three are currently pending, 10 were resolved prior to commission hearing, and 0 were heard before your commission. And 4 of those were carried over from the previous year. So we held 10 meetings overall, 8 of which were regular meetings, and 2 of those were special. We had some highlights. We elected Commissioner Nix as our president and Commissioner Nicholson as our vice president. We navigated unprecedented times through a pandemic and hosted meetings virtually, as well as approved 10 new job specifications and 18 job specifications. And we also approved the revision of 26 job classes for peace officers. Here are the 65.5 FTE existing position classifications here represented for those changes, and one of which is a temporary FTE that was revised. So as for recruitment activity for this fiscal year, our applications did go down. We are seeing a struggle in getting applications across many different agencies, and it is reflected here in our commission report. Our total recruitments went up by just over 17%, and open recruitments over 10%. Total hires did go down by 7.24% this year. So while hires have gone down, there is no shortage of needing new employees and to fill vacancies. So we actually have a very notable increase in requisitions or request to fill vacant positions of 68%. events since fiscal year 17-18, so we are still in very much need to fill and hire new positions, new people. So as for our EEO data, we did see a slight increase in our unrepresented groups. This could be due to advertising in counties like Santa Maria, Kern County. We've also offered a lot more flexibility in our interview processes with offering remote interviewing, phone calls, and it will help people so they don't have to take as much time off work to travel here, and it just makes it a lot easier for them to be available for interviews. For gender, there isn't anything extremely notable, but we did include this fiscal year a section for non-binary that has not been included before, so we may see the numbers increase here as maybe the ones that are now marked as unknown move over to that, and that is now shown in our SAP as well as NEO as an opportunity for people to self-select their gender. For age, there actually was a 5% increase for county workforce under 30, which is wonderful. That could be due to several different things. We're learning and developing growth opportunities within the county that is attracting them. We also hired a lot of emergency operations center admin staff this fiscal year. And so that could be part of that change here. And then that is the end of my presentation. And questions?
Liberty, any questions?
No, well done. It's always good to get an annual snapshot, and pleased to hear that, not pleased to hear that we have so many vacancies and we're still struggling with hiring, but it does sound like you've made some inroads in diversifying the workforce, which is helpful, which is good for many reasons. So I would just encourage the county to continue what they're doing in terms of better improved outreach and then the flexibility in the hiring process. It sounds like also had a positive impact, and so just keep up the good work.
I could echo the comments by Commissioner Baldonado. This has been something that several years ago I kept saying, why don't we have this before next time? And advocated for us to be able to measure our performance in this area of equal employment opportunity. And I found over the years it's been helpful to me to track the progress, and I'm hoping that it also gives a yardstick for human resources as well as to help explain to the public the positive, proactive stand that the HR department is doing. With those comments, I'll open it up to the public. Is there anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Mr. McKibben.
Yes, Martin McKibben, County Human Resources. Just want to remind the commission that once this is approved, we will get it on the Board of Supervisors agenda for their acceptance on the consent agenda. We'll notify you when that happens.
Thank you. Now, on our agenda, it says receive and file. So that does not require a motion, does it?
It does not.
Okay. In that case, wait a second. Let us announce here that Commissioner Nicholson has arrived. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we are on the annual report. And if you have any comments or...
I do not.
Okay. In that case, we will receive this and file. Moving on to request to approve new job specifications, library maintenance worker and custodial operations manager. Ms. McCarthy, I believe you're presenting this.
Good morning, Commissioners. Teresa McCarthy-White, Human Resources Analyst in the Labor Department.
services duties, including answering phones, assisting customers, and shelving books. As noted in my memo, our existing airport's maintenance worker and facility maintenance mechanic classifications were evaluated and found to be not appropriate for this position, as there are distinct differences in the representative duties, including airside inspections and electrical and plumbing work. Our proposal is to create this new classification as will accurately describe the duties and requirements to potential applicants, thus enabling the county to attract candidates who are qualified. In addition, expectations for current employees will be clarified, and the specification will be used as a basis for classification, compensation, and performance management. After conversations with the union and the department, as well as market research, we have found this new specification accurately represents the roles and responsibilities in place for the position. The proposed spec is in your packet along with the org chart. I'll now turn it over to your commission for questions.
Okay. Mr. Nicholson, do you have any questions?
I do not.
Okay.
Ms. Baldwin, I do not.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. Is this a classification that if, say, another department found itself in a similar situation that could be just retitled and used in another department?
So the Public Works Department has facility maintenance mechanics that perform these most of these duties on behalf of the departments. But the library is in a unique position in that it has the 14 branches, unlike any other department. And a lot of the repairs are sometimes more on the minor end, and so requiring a Public Works facility maintenance mechanic to drive out to the library in Shandon is, you know, not good use of funds. So this is the only department that we found it appropriate to have its own separate maintenance worker. The rest of maintenance worker work will continue to go to the facility maintenance mechanics in Public Works.
Okay. And that answered my other questions. Then in that case, let's move on. Well, even we're looking at library maintenance worker. And am I to understand nobody had any questions on the actual document?
I do not.
Okay. Yes. I did have a question on the organizational chart. This is 7A007. And it shows the library director, then the facilities fleet manager, program manager two, and then new, the library maintenance worker. And the way the line goes, it shows library director to facilities manager to the library maintenance worker. I'm wondering who is the direct supervisor for this position?
That would be the program manager two, whose working title is facilities and fleet manager.
Okay, and is that person in the library?
Is a library class. Yes, the program manager too is a library employee, yes.
Okay, and so they are a facilities and fleet manager, program manager too?
So their working title is facilities and fleet manager, but their actual classification is program manager too.
And they are in the library
system? Yes, they are a library employee.
Okay, so the new position, so you already have then, excuse my ignorance if I'm not fully aware of all your library personnel, but you already have a facilities and fleet manager?
Yes, we have somebody operating in that capacity.
Okay, and that person, even though they're a manager, do they do any of the duties that this library maintenance worker does?
No, they do not.
Okay.
They are, I'll let Chris speak. But
there's more operations.
Yeah.
They coordinate tickets and make sure that coordination liaison with Public Works to ensure that the items that need to be addressed are done so in an efficient and timely manner.
Okay. So they then go back to the Public Works Department to make
for larger ticket items. Yes.
Okay. All right. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the commission and entertain a motion regarding library maintenance worker.
I'll make
With me is Public Works Director John Dada. Before you is a recommendation to modify two existing classifications, Building Maintenance Superintendent and Supervising Custodian, as well as create a new classification, Custodial Operations Manager. All three specifications are solely utilized in the facility divisions of the Public Works Department. The county currently utilizes a Building Maintenance Superintendent classification for two positions. The position responsible for organizing and directing the operations related to maintenance and repair of county facilities, and the position performs similar duties related to the cleaning of county buildings. However, because the employment standards and necessary qualification for successful performance in the management of custodial operations is significantly different than what is required for the management of facility operations, it is recommended a new classification be created to encompass the custodial operation manager's responsibilities. It is also recommended that the minimum qualifications for the superintendent classification be updated to include specific experience in skilled building trades work to ensure compliant, proper, and safe protocol and product. Additionally, it is recommended the superintendent classification be retitled to Building Maintenance Manager for internal and external titling consistency. The need for the custodial operation manager specification also created the need to modify the existing building maintenance superintendent and supervising custodian specifications to clearly distinguish the duties between roles. Additionally, general cleanup was needed as the specifications have not been updated in over 10 years. After conversations with the union and the department, as well as market research, we have found these new specifications and updates to the existing specifications accurately represent the roles and responsibilities that are in place for the positions. The proposed specs are in your packet along with the org chart. I'll now turn it over to your commission for questions.
And we will take these individually, the new classification, and then go through each individually. So we'll start with the custodial operations manager. Mr. Nicholson, do you have any comments on that?
No, I do not. I do. Sounds like it'll be page 5, line 57. I would like to know that. May include applies to 5 years of experience in custodial and 3 years of supervisory position.
Yes, it does apply. So a combination of.
So if it does apply, that means that the person can come into this job without any experience at all, and if he chose to do that, and without 3 years of supervising experience, is that correct?
Sorry, can you restate that question?
If this may include. That doesn't say shall. That's always my sticking point. I mean, you've heard me harp on this for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, if it may include, does that mean that this person that fills this position may not have any experience?
It is unlikely that anybody that does not have any experience around this position will be able to fill this position.
I understand that point. But I mean, so that person, if you're asking for 3 years in a supervisory position, that person, you could pick somebody that was not, didn't even have any supervisory background, is that
then
right?
That would not provide them the required education training, or sorry, the required knowledge and abilities listed, so therefore they would not be able to apply for the position. Because the statement listed on line 56 to 57 says that they have to have the required knowledge and abilities.
It doesn't say they have to, it says they may have to, they don't have to have it.
And then the may refers to what are possible examples of how they can get there. But it's still, they're still required to have the common, to have the required knowledge.
All right, where does it say that?
On line 56, I heard Commissioner Perkins.
Yes. The may refers to everything on lines 59 through 64.
Do you agree with that? It's not clear.
Yeah, I think that I understand what Mr. Bergman is concerned about, and while we have a great appreciation for the work HR does to relate applications back to the knowledge and abilities in the specification, I think the concern is, and it has been for me as well, that when you say may, someone or multiple someones who either want to promote or within the county or who want to come in from outside the county may read this, may include, and say, well, this doesn't really matter because I've done custodial work and I had my own business and I had people under me. So they would apply, and I think then you've all explained that in that case, they might or might not be screened out and they might or might not pass the examination, whatever that might be. For the commission, I think that Mr. Bergman brings a good point. If you want them to have 5 years of experience in custodial work and 3 years of supervisory experience managing a crew of custodians, then in that case it should say shall include those items. I think that's what we're talking about.
And if I might, Madam President.
Yes.
So I respectfully disagree with your interpretation of this. What I believe Ms. McCarthy White is saying is the first sentence on 56 and 57 says you have to have a combination of education, training, and experience that provides the required knowledge and abilities listed. So the may include is those potentially could be the items that qualify you, but the screen is do you have the required knowledge and abilities listed, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if they don't have the required knowledge and abilities listed, then they will not, well, they'll screen out probably.
Correct.
Or you will have to, if you don't get someone that applies, you'll have to put it up again, right?
Correct.
Okay. So this is just informing people that are looking at this job spec that you may not even have to graduate from high school, but you're going to have to have, oh, you may not have 5 years of custodial work in multi-office public use buildings, but you do have to have the required knowledge and abilities to perform the duties of a custodial operations manager.
And to note, Commission, the qualifications for the building superintendent classification, which up to this point has encompassed this role, require a four-year degree, so that wouldn't necessarily require to prepare somebody to work in a supervisor capacity. And that's an example of a minimum qualification where we think a combination of education and experience can get you that what we're looking for in the required knowledge and abilities. Having a bachelor's degree does prepare someone to supervise other employees.
Yes. My interpretation of this was the same as Commissioner Nicholson. Under education and experience, the implication is that that first line is required. Just like under representative duties and ability to, those are requirements as well. And so I'm fine with it as written. I think that the combination of education, training, and experience is going to have to be present for the candidate to proceed. The may simply provides examples of how, how that might come about, but there can be a variety of ways that someone could, in fact, achieve or have the education, training, and experience that provides the required knowledge and abilities that are required for the position. So I'm comfortable with it as presented.
If that's the case, then why can't we just change it to shall and we include him?
Well, because the shall would refer to the examples below. I think perhaps one way to clarify it, but this would be probably inconsistent with how we do specifications across the county, is under the education slash experience colon to say a combination of education, training, and experience that provides the required knowledge and abilities listed above is required, period. This may include, and then two examples below. But the is required is somewhat implied.
And the use of the shall on line 57 as a replacement to may, then makes it so that the experience and education listed below are the only qualifying options, and they're no longer allows for a combination. Other
they're not doing custodial work at Ernie Ball, so maybe 2 years after it worked for us, this would limit them from being promoted into one of these positions. So that would be my concern as director, overseeing these positions, limiting it to exactly this, where we have correlated work that's really working for us, and I'd like to be able to hire those people if they're qualified.
I'd like to see somebody that's going to be a supervisor have some supervisor experience in the past.
And this, and above, if you look at the ability to and knowledge of, it does require them to have knowledge of supervisory principles and practices. And so somebody that's never had.
It doesn't say you have had on the job experience, you have the knowledge of it, but you have actually experienced being a supervisor, is that correct?
If it would please your commission, I can add a bullet to ability two and regarding the supervision.
It's the last bullet there.
Oh, ability to supervise, train, and evaluate the performance of the science staff. So that would require them to have an ability to do that, not just the knowledge to do it.
And gauging that ability would come forth in the interview process, I presume.
Absolutely.
Other parts of the selection process as well.
Likely a candidate that does not have any supervisory experience that applies to this wouldn't even make it to an interview round.
Excuse me, I thought you said that you would potentially, in using people from another private industry to move them into this position, might not have supervisory.
Well, over custodian, so they could have been supervising the assembly line of workers at a manufacturing plant. And so if this says shall have supervisory experience over a custodial crew, come in, they work for us, they've maybe been supervisor for a year, they want to promote them to operate the custodial manager, having the shell would limit that internal candidate from promoting. So they've had supervisor experience, this is not related to its field staff other than custodial.
But it doesn't say that anywhere either. It says knowledge of.
So if you put the shell, yeah. Then that would limit my ability to hire those individuals.
I'm thinking that I might see a way for us to blend this. Instead of specifying supervisory experience supervising a crew of custodial staff, would it work for us to say, including 3 years in a supervisory position?
Period.
Yeah. And not specify custodial staff?
So that would still require somebody to then have 5 years of experience in custodial work? And once again, going back to his point of having somebody at an assembly line that has attention to detail.
I think it's one of the points you must have a few years of supervisory experience. Actual experience and knowledge of.
Well, they do have that on line 53 on 70005. They do have supervisory training.
It doesn't say the actual test.
Well, in order to have the, once again, the required knowledge and abilities, they have to have done it in order to know how to do it. Is our stance.
That's a stretch.
Can you tell us more about how difficult it's been to fill these positions and maybe provide some more examples of where the flexibility is helpful to your department?
Well, the challenge has been in the custodial positions itself, which they're the feeder positions into the supervisorial custodial to the custodial manager position. And we have a limited pool here. When you think about custodial work, it's Cal Poly and the school districts, and then that's about it. And a lot of folks, they're building their careers and they're staying there, so we get very few lateral transfers from those institutions. So we're looking for people with an understanding of customer service and attention to detail, and then building their leadership and supervisorial skills internally. So we're really not looking for custodial, when someone, if we hire someone in these positions, the custodial, we're looking for that customer service initiative, hard work, over the cleaning ability, because we'll train them to clean our facilities. So having that in here is a hard must-have would be concerning to me, because it's a recipe for success right now in our hiring, and limiting that would be concerning.
Make sure I understand, it would limit the opportunity for current facilities.
ladder to move up in the organization. Okay. And so when this was being drafted, what caused you to feel that the custodial manager needed 5 years of experience in custodial work?
So that at the minimum qualifications I developed out of market research.
Okay. So the difference between may and shall, you put this in here for a good reason, is what I think I hear you telling me.
I looked at our comparable agencies in our rational universe and analyzed what types of minimum qualifications they expected for similar positions in their organizations, and it was a combination of a variety of different requirements, and so I basically took an average of what they were doing out there and put this together, but that's not, once again, that's not the only way that someone could get the required knowledge and abilities, which is why we have the flexible language.
And in your operations now, the individuals who are serving as custodians, do they have opportunities to become lead workers or supervisors within your system?
We don't have the lead workers spec anymore, but we have two supervising custodian specs.
Okay.
And back to my earlier point, I probably didn't communicate this well enough, but we are hiring custodians that have previous supervisory experience. They're looking for an opportunity. This is a stepping stone into the county, and so they may not be supervising anyone in their role as a custodian, but they worked in the resort industry or at one of the wineries and supervise staff, so they have previous supervising experience, just not in.
I'm good with that. If they have previous supervised experience, it doesn't have to be over custodial, just having the actual supervisorial experience.
So I think what Mr. Bergman and President Nix are saying is if you delete the last six words for a crew of custodial staff on page 64, then you're fixing what you're saying, Mr. Diodati, that you're looking at people, a minimum spec may include someone who's had 3 years in a supervisory position.
Requires them to have 5 years of custodial experience, and there are individuals that can be highlighted that are former supervisors in the resort industry, as you mentioned, or the wine industry, et cetera, that have managerial skills, supervisory skills, and haven't necessarily worked in custodial for very long, if at all. And so somebody that maybe came in as a supervising custodian for a year with those required skills and abilities then can move up into this classification with the flexible language. Once again, the cleaning can be taught, and the management and ability to manage is really what they're looking for here. And that can come from somebody that does not have 5 years of custodial work experience.
I don't think we're fighting you, though. We're trying to help you make this broader. If you take out the supervisor, and just say including 3 years in a supervisory position, that can be in resort, that can be at Ernie Ball, that can be anywhere. That was our problem, the problem I'm hearing from the smart, worldly people versus the parsing attorneys, is that they don't like that you're saying that it may include 3 years as a supervisor of a custodial staff. So if you make it broader by taking those last six words out, you're actually opening
it.
Can I give one more example? And this is the real life example. The incumbent, if this said shall, the incumbent, we wouldn't have been able to hire him. And he's knocking it out of the park. He's one of the best supervisors and leaders I've had in this department. He came from our road crew as a maintenance road worker, lead worker. He had a couple of years experience at Costco as a custodian prior to joining the county. And if this said shall,
and that successful completion of the basic supervisor training course is required within 6 months of appointment. So custodian has experience, they can get into supervising custodian without supervisor experience, but they have to become trained in that within 6 months. And then, of course, their next step would be this classification. So it is consistent through what we would see as a career ladder for this position. Not there's any particular issue, but just for this consistent.
I would also point out that if we change now may to shall, that means that they also will be required to have been graduated from high school or have a GED. And I don't know if that will always be the case for the target.
You know, I'm not concerned about that as much as I am somebody. If you're going to have a supervisor, then they should have some past history of supervisory experience, period. And that's a must, not just wiggle around it and just dance here with us. That's a must if that's what you're looking for.
But that would have disqualified me from being commissioned in the United States Navy because I didn't have any supervisory experience on the ground.
Didn't change the whole spec from, you know, just...
The implication of the required education and experience is that they have to have the required
skills. The implication is correct, but nothing says you have to, and that's, you know...
Well, would it make you more comfortable to say a combination of education, training, and experience that provides the required knowledge and abilities listed above is required, period? This may include...
You know, ability to, or one of the bullet points could say must have had previous supervisorial experience.
I think that's a deviation from the way the format for writing the things that the ability to in their bullet point on 53 is, I believe, the correct way according to the process.
I believe that we at a certain point have to allow the appointing authority some flexibility to make good judgment, because quite frankly, if Mr. Diodati advances someone to this position who doesn't have the requisite qualifications and abilities, it's going to make him look bad. So I think we need to, as a commission, afford some level of flexibility that is reasonable. And I think because there's all these spelled out classifications, spelled out abilities and knowledge of requirements built into this, and because we're hearing that there is a difficulty fulfilling these positions, the appointing authority is requesting some flexibility in order to make it possible to fill the positions, and has given some concrete examples of how this has worked successfully in the past. I think we should afford this level of flexibility.
I'd like to go back to the line 63 where it says 5 years of experience, and as I believe I heard you, Mr. Diodati, say that the person who is the incumbent that would be taking on this title did not have 5 years of custodial work. So is that something that should be here if in fact it's not needed?
Well, is that an example, right?
That's one example. So the difficulty that we're having here is that we don't want to put in prescribed qualifications. That is an example of how somebody achieved it, but it's not the only example of how somebody can qualify for this position. And so once again, we want to reduce the experience here. Yeah, that might satisfy that individual, but it may not satisfy a future does have, once again, the required skills and abilities to perform the role.
We have a tourist industry here, and so someone coming from a resort that says multi-office public use buildings, but I would be very interested in someone that was a supervisor or manager of one of our larger resorts in our county. And so, again, it's a may, because ideally we want someone that's familiar with
you're not, then let's just leave it loose.
Commissioner Bergman, I hear what you're saying, and I understand that. If we put up too many guardrails, then we prevent potentially really good talent from filling these positions, and we're having a hard time filling these positions.
So the title is custodial operations manager, so it's a manager. So we could put someone in there that's never had any management's actual experience as a manager. We have all these abilities too, and suggested what we would like, but when it comes down to it, you can hire somebody that has had zero. And if you're asking for a manager, I'd like to see some managerial experience, period. So, as a written must, that's where I'm at.
I presume that the first time any of us had a management position, we haven't had management experience, if that was our first management position. And my understanding is that this could be a situation where this is the first time a person is managing, but they have the ability to do it because they have these other skills, and they've proven those skills either in the work they've done before, or those skills have come forth in the interview process.
I believe that I heard Mr. McKibben tell us that there is a supervising custodian. So there is on that career ladder in the county an opportunity to get supervisory experience.
So dovetailing on what President Nick was saying. So Mr. McKibben, we were looking at, or you said let's look at the org chart, I believe, and that would be helpful to look at the org chart that you have on 70007. So this is the current organizational chart, and then the proposed chart is the next page. So this role, this new job would be in the dark blue, correct? Custodian operations manager.
Correct.
And so to get there, you would have to be a supervising custodian.
In some situations, that would be the feeder class, yes. But if there was an open recruitment, there may be a candidate that's more qualified candidates to look at. But yes, the supervising custodian is definitely intended to be a feeder class.
This just reinforces it to me even more. A person with this high level should have to have minimum a certain amount of experience as a supervisor.
And they will, because once again, in order to have the ability to supervise, you have to have supervisory experience. Therefore, when the applications are received by the Human Resources Department and screened by the Human Resources Analyst, anybody without supervisory experience will not make it to the next round because they do not have the required supervisory ability to supervise.
And again, my concern is somebody graduating from Cal Poly, resort major, Parks and Rec resort major, as a custom major there, 2 years at one of the larger resorts in the county as maybe the front desk manager overseeing even the housekeeping staff. This says shall, they're automatically kicked out. And that's that combination. And now we have someone with a college degree and experience in management, and we can't hire them.
Let me go back to the org chart on 70007. The current position, I'm looking at the current chart, it says building maintenance superintendent. And I was just looking because I thought it might be here. I don't see that spec, so I'm wondering if that is only the name change and you're not changing anything else in that specification.
So the spec is on the next page.
So are you eliminating the building maintenance superintendent?
No, my packet, maybe I'm just missing something. My packet ends at, I didn't
find it. You are the AC, you are missing some pages.
I was to AC, it should be A1.
I'm sorry, A.
I'm missing some pages, which may help enlighten me.
You're welcome. This refers to a revised.
Right. But okay, let me go to the reason that I was looking is that I didn't want to have to. I wanted to be informed before I asked my question, but I'll ask it anyway. Building maintenance superintendent. What are the minimum qualifications for that?
addition, 1 year of experience in a supervisory position for a crew of building maintenance or custodial staff.
Now, Mr. Diodati, the building maintenance superintendent that you have now, who would just fit a job title, as I understand it, of custodian operations manager, how do you, and you say this individual is a star performer, what qualifications, remind me again, that he's able to qualify as a building maintenance superintendent?
He was a long-tenured lead worker and even interim section supervisor for our road crew.
And did he have the college?
He had job-related experience and substituted.
And I like that part where they can substitute experience for education.
And to clarify the intent here, so we currently have a building maintenance superintendent classification that is filled by two individuals. One individual supervises the custodial staff and is trying to create a new staff for that individual. And we're going to keep the existing building maintenance superintendent classification and just retitle it and have it specific to maintenance.
Mr. Bergman, I know we're taking these one by one, but are you also concerned about May in the revised specs for education and experience for the building maintenance manager?
I think the problem, I didn't get that. There's a few pages missing, I thought, which is part of the problem. So
okay.
I didn't get anything after.
Oh, you
just,
also are
missing. Yeah, my topic is set.
Okay, all of us then are uneducated.
I have this.
How did you do that? How did you do that? Okay.
We're getting some more copies.
We'll get some more copies. Are these your copies?
No, those are for you.
So,
here's one set.
Sorry, but I don't want to rush this. Maybe we table this to the next, continue this to the next meeting so that
we're able to go back and read the whole packet.
Yes.
And I think that may be part of it is we were missing some of the packet, so we weren't, I think, and I don't know, if we're going to still have questions, we're all missing part of the packet.
Well, commissioners, we apologize for that error.
It happens. Yeah. We're not worried about the fact it's gone. We just know that we've been running in circles because we were, yeah, you know why. Okay. Yes. Do I have concerns from the commission that maybe we should move this to our next meeting for?
Yes, please. That would be fine.
Does that cause a hardship from HR's perspective or the majority anyway?
We do have a number of board items that we were tentatively kind of before in December associated with.
So it would just increase the agenda, or it would push back other things?
One of the things corresponding to this is a compensation increase for one of the classifications, and that would delay the compensation increase for and one of the existing incumbents. That would just be the main
We push it out to January, whereas it could be effective in December.
What's the amount of money we're talking?
15%.
15%.
Just looking, I don't have A or B.
Right.
And I don't have C, A, D. I just have the A, C.
I have A, D. I don't have A.
I don't have A, D.
Okay, so we passed out the packets.
Right,
and everyone get one.
So
yes.
I don't want to try to sit here and read it and rush through.
Understand.
I can read it in my leader. So.
Back to the question of how much money is this going to cost somebody? Is it going to be
$100,
$200.
It's a 15% increase. Teresa, that's okay.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say all these taxes are missing.
They all are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Whatever it is, I think we need to postpone. Just go on.
Yeah, I think that our responsibility, we've all been very serious over the years of reviewing and making sure that we understand. And I have to say,
Mr. Dobby, and I'm sorry that you're going to have to come back to resolve this, but thank you.
If we do, that's taken for granted.
And I'd like to comment as well. You see where two of us are at, and if there's some way you guys can compromise this, I'm not going to vote for this unless somebody has some actual hands-on experience in the past, super resort experience. Because you're going all the way, when I see the level at the org chart, I want somebody to have some experience supervising. If some way or some means, doesn't have to be custodial, but some, like if they supervise at a resort and has people working under them, I don't think you can just plug somebody that's never supervised people into a position that reports directly to the department head. So, I mean, work something out, and that'd be really some time.
And that's fair. I agree with Commissioner Bergman that you are two levels, three levels up the org chart, and the next level up is the head. So there should be some way, based on what you've been telling us, to facilitate or finesse the language. And we have in the past had this dispute every time, but when we got to that level, we all agreed that there did need to be, must have, some managerial experience. So it's not just you. But in that sense, I do, once we looked at the org chart, I do agree with Commissioner Bergman about that.
Okay, in that case, I will open it for any public comment on this matter. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission, and I believe we're all in agreement that we will bring back 7B and 8A and 8B. Okay. Moving on to the Sheriff's Forensic Specialist.
We're actually getting Todd at her name tag.
There she is.
Good morning, Commissioners. Todd Dondramont, Human Resources Analyst, and with me is Deputy Mix with the Sheriff's Office. As you probably noticed in your packet, this is just a cleanup item. It was brought to our attention that there was some language in these two specs for the Sheriff's Forensic Specialist and the Sheriff's Forensic Laboratory Specialist that only applies to peace officers under the penal code. It does not apply to civilian employees, and so we are just recommending removing that language out of these specs to be in compliance with the law. If you have any questions?
Yes.
No, this was clearly set forth in the memo. I do not have any questions.
Yes, if you look at PNC, page 5, and line 75, I'd just like an explanation why you were removing that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we also do not require psychological exams for these for civilian positions. And so that also is part of requirements for peace officers under the law.
If I give some context to that, prior to 2004, senior deputies performed this job, and then Chief Deputy Gary Gulley changed it to this to make it civilianized so we could redeploy them back to the street again, and we just forgot to take it out. Because I hope your mental health is good.
Yeah.
Usually we find that in background, and a polygraph.
But they do still have to take a background and a polygraph, so those things are addressed.
Mr. Davis.
I don't know.
If we need to go out for commission outside council.
Nothing from outside council, thank you.
Commission secretary.
I don't have anything other than we have some scheduling potentially.
Yes.
And I'm going to turn that over to Mr. McCutcheon.
Tammy's a good supervisor. She passes.
Yeah, delicate. She's got all the supervisor experience you need, okay? So first of all, we have, we're looking at January. The items we have pending, we have four pending. So for January, your regular meeting will be is January 26th in 2022. This is a needs improvement evaluation out of the Sheriff's Department. It's been in process since July. We've had pre-hearings, lots of discussions, some amendments have been made to the evaluation, but the appellant is still not satisfied with the overall evaluation. So we will need, we would like to limit it to your regular meeting on the 26th and then one additional day if you wanted to tag on either Tuesday the 25th or Thursday the 27th for those for that hearing.
Why is he going to take that long?
At this point, the appellant has, we're going to hopefully reduce the number of witnesses. Taj has been working with this, so you might be able to provide more additional information about
that. I think that we would hope that we could get it done in the first day. We just don't know that for sure because the attorney working on it has been out of town, and so we haven't been able to connect with him to get some definitive answers on exactly what
we will have regular business on the 26th, so if that were to take us, you know, into 10, 11 o'clock, we had lunch. Probably would actually start the hearing shortly thereafter, and then you'd have the remaining next day to wrap it up. And we would, because it's recent, it's been a couple months, difficulty getting the association president to respond, as well as the attorney respond, we would propose that the commission issue an order for whatever dates we agree upon, and hold all parties accountable for that.
I could commit to the 26th and the 27th. I cannot commit to the 25th. I run board meeting that day.
I'm okay with the 26th and the 27th.
I'm not okay with anything short of the afternoon. I can't believe that it's, you know, I thought we were going to talk about making briefs instead of actually having.
Let's wait till our discussion.
Here's my problem. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days of trial in February and multiple days of trial in January. So I don't have the time to commit 2 days to this if it's a problem with needs improvement. Termination, demotion, I get it. But this, you know, and I don't see how, I mean, there have to be redundant witnesses, you know, unless, so I guess we need to talk in closed session, but I don't see this taking that much time. And I'm sure you're trying to settle it, I get that. But you know, it's
we can schedule it as we have to, and since we need to do an order anyway, which I got my cue on that respect.
Thank you, Kevin.
We can order that we're scheduling it in light. I guess we do this assuming we have four commissioners, because God knows when we will have five.
Yes.
So because we have four, the order will reflect that and say that we're scheduling it, we have commissioner availability, and the parties should be prepared to stipulate that one of the commissioners may listen to recordings or something like that. We'll just grab the bull by the horns up front and just make them do that, especially in light of the fact there's global frustration of performance review appeals taking up days.
Yes.
I guess we could go as far as to say you get 1 day of three witnesses and all that kind of stuff. I think the law supports the commission's authority to, quote, manage its own schedule. And if this was an excessive force sheriff's deputy case, that would be an abuse of discretion. But is this the one I dealt with or is this not one I dealt with?
Yes.
Okay. So I've tried to help settle and apparently I failed. You know, we can talk about this in a closed session as far as that order and kind of streamline it in. Plus, I can take over communicating and be that guy if I need to, whatever you need.
Okay.
So we have those dates set. Anything else, Mr. McKibben?
Yes, thank you. A termination appeal coming out of the Child Support Services Department. We're looking at February. Again, your regular hearing date would be February 23rd. So the same process here for this termination. This would be one, I think everyone is in agreement to get this to the commission in February. So two things related to the delays, because this happened back in March, I believe, is when the appeal was filed. But the county has a witness that went on maternity leave in the August-September timeframe, and so that witness was imperative. Also, the appellant's representative has changed two or three times during this time period. So while I think everyone is agreeable in wanting to move this forward, again, I would have the commission consider, given the extended time frame, for good reasons, still consider that we maybe consider issuing an order for this termination appeal as well.
And are you looking at 2 days, which would be the 23rd and the 24th, since Ms. Baltimore has a meeting Tuesday?
No, I run a board meeting every other month.
Oh,
so
okay.
I have the flexibility. Okay. I can do the 22nd and the 23rd are even better for me that month.
Okay, thank you.
But that's just me.
Okay.
Don't want to hear from others.
Mr. Nicholson, how do you?
I'm in trial.
You're in trial those days?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a conflict too, unfortunately, those days I have a hearing.
Okay.
With that department off the record closed session, we need to discuss with Mr. Nicholson because of he's a family law attorney. So we need to watch for conflicts, so we don't need to identify the people off the record in closed session to figure that out. If we could, I'm telling you now, so I don't forget.
can I go back then to if that week doesn't work, let's go to Mr. Nicholson. What does work for you in February?
February?
This one, we are hoping to work with the parties to have it presented to the commission as a written brief facts are not necessarily in dispute. It is really whether or not the level of discipline was appropriate. So we would hope that we can avoid a hearing with that one. We're still discussing that one. And then we have a notice in order of demotion that was just issued last week, received the appeal last week. That's coming out of the health agency, and the pre-hearing has yet to be decided. That's all I have for scheduling. Thank you.
So we have dates you set down for us, please. Dates, sir.
Yes, sir.
So did COVID do us a favor and keep, because people were all home and stuff, that we don't have as many issues?
It's had various effects. I guess to opine, I think we had certainly employees doing completely different positions for a significant amount of time. As we like to say, like our librarians are gone, librarians driving forklifts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, things, delivering food, those kinds of things. So, yeah, the kind of day-to-day stuff is really mixed up. But HR is working consistently with departments as they're reorganizing and using our performance evaluation system to hold people accountable and provide feedback for improvement and help them in their careers and such. So there's a lot of management activity going on. So I would not be surprised if 2022 is a little more active.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else on the Commission Secretary's comments?
Mr. McKibben reminded me of something I thought I should advise your commission of. He was asking a side question when we have a fifth commissioner, and I did want to let all of you know that Supervisor Gibson has been working hard to fill the seat. I am personally aware of two different people that he has asked if they would be willing to serve, and both of them they just didn't work out. And so he is working very hard on it, and so I'm very hopeful that we'll find a good match soon.
Understandable, and I think more and more people do have a lot of commitments, and this is a commitment, and it's something that whoever we pick needs to be able to make themselves available.
Exactly, yes, thank you.
Okay.
One moment. I just wondered, is he aware that he can get people outside of his district as well?
He is aware. He asked that question, and we advised him as such. So thank you.
That is the problem with the pool.
It sure does.
Okay. In that case, I'm going to move on to item number 10, which is public comment on closed session items. And that would be members of the public wishing to address the commission on the closed session matters as agendized. They do so when recognized, and presentations are limited to 3 minutes per individual. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, I will then close the public meeting and open the meeting for the closed session. The commission is back on the record, and we heard two items in closed session and gave direction to council. There is no reportable action.